Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. 12 days now. That mother of five in Connecticut has been missing. And her estranged husband and his girlfriend were arrested on evidence tampering charges. She's out. He's still in the North Avenue jail in Bridgeport.
Oh.
And the amount of evidence that a violent crime was committed in her garage is pretty overwhelming. And then they found blood clothes along the, you know, this garbage cans. And
yeah.
Now they're searching the Hartford trash plant. And they're asking neighbors to hand over any surveillance video that they have. So, Attorney Norm Pattis was on yesterday. And I asked him, how screwed is this guy?
Wow. You know, it's not what I thought. It's far worse for the defense than I assumed. As near as I can tell from press accounts, apparently there is evidence of blood spatter, that is, blood violently expelled from a body in the garage or home of the woman in New Canaan, of Ms. Dulosin. There's evidence of blood being cleaned up in the garage. Then a car registered to her was found about 3 miles from the home along the Merritt Parkway. Then officers detected a lot of activity from the defendant and his girlfriend up and down Albany Avenue in North Hartford. Things were dropped in as many as 30 dumpsters. They've recovered blood-soaked items, including sponges and or clothing of Ms. Dulos. They've also used cell data to show that Dulos' cell phone was in the area of New Canaan at or about the time Ms. Dulos disappeared. So that is powerful circumstantial evidence of several things. First, two people were at the Dulos home in New Canaan at or about the time something occurred. And I say that because her car had to get from New Canaan to the Merritt Parkway somehow. And I doubt that one person went there, was in the car, dropped it off, and hitchhiked home. Probably two people traveled there. Who would those two people be? The two people out there disposing of bloody material in dumpsters. It's beginning to look like a desperate situation for the defense. It'd be a difficult defense at this point.
You know, when Norm Pattis says that, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I asked him, if you were advising this guy.
I don't know the evidence. How I would advise him at this point is, don't talk to a soul, sit down, shut up, and don't leave the house without talking to me, and order your groceries out, and stay away from Cookie Puss, because she's nothing but trouble.
Cookie Puss.
All right.
I can't how he has a name for her, Cookie right. Puss.
Love
Cookie
it.
Puss,
right?
She did not take a good mugshot,
no,
by the way.
No. Kind of a Cookie Puss, actually.
Do you want to look good in your mugshot?
I don't know.
Do
I think you want to look innocent.
Yeah.
And how do you look innocent? You don't look like you're mad and disheveled.
Right. You look sad.
I don't know if you know when the mugshot's
sad.
Coming, though.
Like sad, like I can't believe this is happening to
well,
me.
Well, you know you're standing there. Right?
At that point, but like you don't know when you're getting arrested, so like you can't like brush your hair before.
She
right.
did look a little angry, though.
Like this is bull crap.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I always think it's a bad idea to smile. I see those people, I'm like, oh, so you think this is funny, do
right.
you?
Yeah, it's not
yeah.
a selfie here. What's
yeah,
happening?
If I end up on the jury, you're in trouble.
Yeah, smiley.
He looks mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scowl on his face, yep.
I like how they gave him a jumpsuit that didn't fit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they just had a busy weekend. It's like, we're out of mediums.
Oh, sorry. This is the only one we have.
Gonna have to take an extra large.
Oh, yeah. I'm having a monkey crotch now.
But man, there's some stuff on this guy out there.
Yeah.
Like if you read through. Now, again, you don't believe everything you read, right?
True.
Man, if half of that stuff is true, this was a really bitter divorce.
So I don't know everything about the case, and my dad's an attorney, so I totally get it. But I believe she tried in 2017 to get custody because he was acting irrationally. Like, she tried.
Yeah.
Which makes me sad and kind of angry.
Well, they had a protective order. They had, he had to stay away from the kids. They had to schedule visits.
Right. Like, surprised.
As soon as it was established that the mom was missing, her mom, the mother-in-law, had the kids brought to New York, had an armed guard.
Yeah.
Instantly knew what was happening.
Right.
Like she wasn't like, oh, I wonder where she went.
Went to protection mode, yeah.
Right. Went into get the kids, get an armed guard.
Right. Smart move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I asked Norm Pattis if you were advising Cookie Puss.
You know, love is blind, but let's take the blinders off for a minute and ask yourself where you really want to spend the rest of your life. You face a potential conspiracy charge. Now, a conspiracy is when two or more people get together and they agree to accomplish some unlawful act, and then one of the parties does it. Being merely present when somebody else does a bad act is not a crime. So let's just say that she was there, that he killed this woman, and then she helped clean up and dispose of stuff. That doesn't make her guilty of murder, but it sure makes her look like a co-conspirator. I'd be looking to produce the body and to produce evidence in exchange for no plea to a conspiracy charge, but simply to hindering in 5 years. And that's probably a home run for her right now.
Police not releasing a lot of information. They're just releasing basic stuff, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be something that right before, a day or two before she disappeared, some legal motion or decision was made that set this frigging guy off.
Right, got things in motion.
Right. Right, because we were asking former police chief James Wardwell yesterday, based on what we know, do you think this is something that was planned or do you think it was something heat of the moment in anger? And he felt it was heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Not well planned.
No.
And I know we're already talking like this guy's guilty, but yeah, all right.
Don't look good.
I don't know.
It don't look good.
Let's do the math on this one.
We don't be amazed with somebody else.
It would be one of the biggest shocks.
It would.
The only other time in my life I could remember something like this happening where everybody was like, okay, we got the guy, and then it wasn't the guy, was the Olympic Park bomber.
Oh.
Remember they thought it was the security guard who came to help people?
Yeah.
It was that, like, tubby guy?
Yeah.
And then they went to his shed, and there were similar screws, and it was like, oh, wow, they got the guy. No, you didn't.
Nope.
So, I mean, there's still that slight possibility, but doubtful, right?
Yeah.
I think AJ asked an intelligent question yesterday. He's like, what if this other girl did it? No one's really considering that.
So that's AJ's theory, that she did it, that the girlfriend did it.
It's the really only other possibility that seems likely.
And at least based on all the evidence, it's him or her.
Right. Yeah. Still, though, they've got their guy.
She flipped out.
Girl.
Yeah. You know, I want this man, blah, 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 and you're in my way.
Mm,
yeah.
Real
and you're causing a problem in my happy life.
She has an interesting background, too. We're going to talk more about that at 8, but really, smart woman who's done a lot in the business world.
Yeah.
But really can't take a good mugshot.
No. Work on that one.
Jesus. Can't you, now, would the police allow you to brush your hair? Like, in other words, you're arrested and you look like the worst. Can you say,
just give me a second.
Do you have a comb I can borrow?
Just give me a second to fix myself. Yeah.
Can I put some makeup on?
Do you want to even ask that?
I mean, if you get arrested after eating a salad and there's a piece of lettuce in your tooth.
No, but that's the one. So nobody thinks about this, right? And I certainly wouldn't think about that under the circumstances. But that picture is out. That is the only thing. Like, outside of some pictures of her with him at some award show that they won some awards for his building company.
Uh-huh.
That's the only picture I've seen of her.
Yeah.
It's a bad one.
It is.
You know?
It is.
But everything you say in front of the police can be used against you in court. So imagine you're on the jury, and they're like, so the first thing she asked when we brought her in is for a comb and for makeup before the picture.
Yeah.
She said, do I have
that
a lesson?
That doesn't help her.
Do I have a lesson in my teeth? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that helps. I don't think there's any way to do this well.
I think that's the last thing that would come up based on the evidence that's rolling out right now.
Yeah,
I don't think they need that.
Or worse, you had ribs or like chicken wings.
I know, we got it, AJ. Food in the mouth. I know, we heard it 8 times now. All right, so we also had world-renowned forensic scientist Henry Leon yesterday, and he went through some of the processes to collect evidence.
The first thing, of course, public information. Any case like that need the public to provide information. Any people see anything, heard anything, or have some background information.
Right.
Second one, they usually do data search. So basically recording such as a CCTV camera or somebody's cell phone or her own cell phone, other suspect's cell phone. So try to look at electronic information. Then you can do a vehicle recognition program or license plate a recognition program or facial recognition program, try identify the driver, the type of vehicle, then you can do a big data search. This vehicle, when was gassed up, and what's the activity, and what's the movement, try to establish a timeline. Also, do a location profile. Then, of course, the crime scene, this case apparently have multiple crime scene. So now they're going to do the preliminary search and to get the search warrant to search the premises or garbage dump or wood. Once they discover something, they're probably more likely call in the forensic team or call the forensic consultant. The last one, of course, intelligence, that's the detective had to work, try to figure it out, try to look at the motive, means, opportunity. So solving a case is a teamwork, not one person.
Right.
It's a lot of people, a lot of hard work to put the cases together. People, a lot of devotion, a lot of hard work.
Dr. Henry Lee, I feel like one of the shining stars is Connecticut.
Yes.
You know, like we're all proud that, yeah, this guy came from us.
Right.
But yeah.
Top wasn't tier. Many, but we got him.
Top tier.
Right.
Yeah. Top tier.
Right.
Yeah, we got to get him in studio. But that, I found him fascinating yesterday. He was on for like 12 minutes. It's up as a WPLR podcast or audio on demand, as we call it.
Yep.
Jose from New Milford.
Yes, sir.
Hey, real quick, and then we're going to go.
Okay. I just want to bring up the fact there's no body.
Right.
Yep.
This have a murder without a body.
Right. This used to be a problem. It's been done successfully many times. There's a threshold you have to meet, and the evidence here meets the threshold. Keep in mind, Helen Kraft, the only thing they found was a tooth, a fingernail, and a bill in her pocket that was in her pajamas.
Okay.
And if it wasn't for a Southbury snowplow driver who saw someone in the middle of the night chipping wood along the river, they would have never known where to look. So it was that one little piece. And trust me, I will bet anything that they are going to find her. This guy was just way too sloppy. And the amount of blood that they found in the garage, we don't know, but we know it's enough to get a warrant.
Yeah.
And the spatter. And then all of the bloody items, the sponge, all of these things
that we
don't even know about yet. So
yeah.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Okay. Good. I just wanted to bring that up because in my mind it was still a doubt, but I do hope they find her body.
I hope they find her alive.
Yeah,
I know how crazy that sounds right now.
But,
yeah. All right. Thank you, brother. Can I ask you guys something?
Yes.
What's the North Avenue jail like? Has anyone been there?
Ashley?
I have not, luckily.
That's what I hear this guy is, the estranged husband of the missing Connecticut mom.
Mm. I've passed by it.
I've passed by it. I used to play at the Panama Inn across the street.
Okay.
So I've been near it a lot.
Right.
And then I was very close by when I was setting up staging for Kenny Rogers playing Kennedy Stadium.
Okay.
Or whatever it's called.
It doesn't look friendly.
Kennedy Field or whatever.
Very ominous looking.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look like a place you want to spend any time.
Hey,
like, I don't drive by there and say, huh.
Yeah, one day I'd
like
a visit.
The weekend there.
Yeah, you know. Look at it. They have a basketball court. I can play.
Right. It's a brick building with barbed wire.
Yes.
Has anyone listening been in the North Avenue jail?
I wonder what the other inmates think of him. Or them.
Right. That's another question. Like, if you spent time there or in any jail, what's a guy like this, how does he get treated? Is he in general population?
Yeah, where does he rank?
Right. Because they want to keep him alive. You know?
Yes. The profile of this case, he's got to be somewhat protected, secluded, isolated, one of those. Like, he can't just be in with everybody else.
But if you're a murderer and then another murderer comes in, are you like, hey, I hear you. I know.
Right.
Things happen.
Right, exactly. Right.
I think there's got to be a transfer at that point.
Secret handshake.
No, but I think that there is a, you know, we talked about this before, that there's a level of how you get treated.
A pecking order.
I think the child molesters are the worst.
Target number one.
Right. And then I forgot what they told how it works after that. Child molesters and something else, they're like the worst, but the child molesters are the worst.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be that. Oh, I think cop was one.
That's not good for you.
Like, you don't want to be a cop.
No.
And you don't want to be a child molester.
Right.
But yeah, murderer.
Or a census taker.
How could that be bad? You're in jail with other murderers.
Right.
It's like, hey, you killed someone. It's like, well.
Yeah.
So did you.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's Tuesday. Yeah.
Harold in Waterbury.
Good morning.
Hey. Hello.
Morning.
So, I used to live like a half a block away from there on Tom Thumb Street, which is right off the main.
Tom Thumb
Street. I know, that's fantastic.
Like little houses? Little houses?
Bridgeport has such history.
Storybook history.
Yeah.
It's a short street. But
gotcha.
Anyway.
That's good.
It
would have been funny if you didn't laugh.
It's like a punk fest there. Everybody's like short time, you know.
Did you call him to do jokes or?
No.
Oh,
I'm just
okay.
saying. All it's you know, it's not like people are there for a long time. So
right, that's a short stay on your way to like it's like a rest stop.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna go here, then you're gonna have a court case.
Then you're gonna go to Penn.
Okay.
It would be a very unruly place. I mean, like I say, a punk fest. Everybody's got something to prove to nobody, and you know what I mean.
Well, you got something to prove to nobody.
Right.
So would that be nothing to prove? Or?
Right, nothing to prove.
Yeah. No. You know, because it's a bunch of nobodies in there.
Oh, I ain't got nothing to prove to nobody.
Man,
I
am.
Yeah, see. You got something to prove to nobody in particular.
I don't feel like I'm getting any real information on this call.
Yeah, and you're not informed, are you?
But I appreciate you, Harold. Taco emergency.
I think we just heard it.
Police departments across the country deal with 911 calls all the time, but a problem with a taco, not exactly an emergency.
911, what's your emergency?
I need assistance at Jim's, Lincoln, and Woodbury.
I know, what's
the problem? They stole my damn dollars. And you want to fix my taco? I'm
going to
have a ride,
Jimmy. Hold it.
Yeah, I ain't touching her taco.
What's going on here?
No, I'm quite sure.
They took my damn dollars. That's what I heard.
And they wouldn't. I heard they took my damn dollars and they wouldn't fix my taco.
Yeah, I'm guessing trying to like soak some alcohol. Apparently,
did she give the address where she was? Right,
the streets. I guess. Yeah,
streets.
Lincoln.
Wow, this is not the first time she's called 911.
No,
she knew exactly what they wanted immediately.
Usually they call on her.
Yeah, right. Good.
And Woodbury.
I know.
They stole my damn dollars. And you want to fix my taco? I'm going to have a ride, Jimmy. You know we're not down to 10 cents.
Hold on. What's going
down
on?
Down 10 cents?
Yeah, I'm with this guy.
Mm.
Yeah, I heard $1.10.
Yeah, and taco.
What was, can we hear that again?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to fix my taco?
He won't fix my taco.
Okay.
I'm going to have a ride, Jimmy.
What?
Question mark.
I want some rice in it?
Oh, maybe.
Wait, go ahead.
I'm going to have a ride, Jimmy.
No. Yeah.
I didn't want any rice in it.
Oh.
I'm going to have a rice in it.
I think this is where, you know, if you had the person signing on the side, right?
They
would just go, I don't know.
I think she said I'm hypoglycemic.
I'm going to have a rice in it.
Oh. Now I hear that.
That would make a person crazy if they don't have their food. The mind of the person.
Have you not had your food yet, AJ?
No, I have not. I feel her pain.
I don't know what's more of an emergency, this 911 call or what's happening in that monkey cage.
No, I'm quite sure.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to have a ride, Jimmy. You know we're not down to 10 cents.
Hold on. Slow down. What's going on?
Hold on, wait. Then she said something about $1.10.
Right.
They took my $1.10?
So it sounds like they took the money, didn't give the taco.
Gotcha.
She called the police.
Right. All right.
Hello?
What did I say?
I can't tell. You're yelling.
At least he's honest. At least he's honest.
But I like that she knows she has to ask What did I just say?
Right, repeat back to what I said.
Right. Are you following? Nah, not really.
Yeah, get me.
Go ahead.
I can't tell. You're yelling.
I need assistance. I want my dollar or my taco.
You're...
All right, I want my dollar or my taco.
Okay, yeah. See? Offering a solution here. One or the other.
You're having a problem with the taco?
The owner, the proprietor here.
You're having a problem with the taco?
I am.
Proprietor. I like when people use
proprietor
words they never use when they're talking to the police.
And she pronounced it well, too. Proprietor. Yes.
Of this establishment.
She probably saw on the wall. Proprietor.
Yeah, the owner of this dump.
Right.
Go ahead.
You having a problem with the taco?
I am. The owner, bitch. Pardon me.
Excuse me?
I am upset.
Whoa. I am
owner,
upset.
Bitch. No, she was calling him a bitch.
Yes. Right.
I am upset.
Yeah. I am upset.
Yes, you are.
I do love that sound.
I need my taco.
I am upset.
Yes, you are.
As a taxpayer in Connecticut?
I am upset.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, go ahead.
I know. You have to calm down and kind of tell me what's going on here now.
If you are listening to any goddamn thing I'm saying.
Are you drunk?
No, I am not a drunk. Mm.
Not okay, a drunk. All right, right. Good.
She not a drunk.
She left a little room open there for a yes.
Right, well, weekend's coming up, so.
Are you drunk? I am not a drunk.
Right.
Doesn't mean I'm not drunk at this moment.
Good point.
Yeah.
I'm be drunk.
I mean, if there's one thing you want when you're drunk, it's tacos.
Oh, yeah. Mm. It soaks the alcohol so well.
I'm not a taco person.
Oh, man.
Really? Go with
Jack in a Box, Taco Tuesday.
Nope. Taco Bell.
Oh. So great.
Beef Supreme Burrito, whatever it's called. Big Beef Supreme Burrito thingy.
Is that how you pronounced it when you were drunk?
I'm not a drunk. I be drunk.
Sir, just tell us what number, please.
Yeah. Point.
Yeah, thank you. Three.
No, I am not a drunk.
Okay, then why don't you just start...
Yeah, don't get them over there, all right?
What was funny is he was about to insult her, like, yeah, well, you got to talk right, and he screwed up, and that's the worst when you're, like, telling someone to, like, talk right, and you're like, hey, why don't you tip that?
Yep, welcome
to
my world.
All right, go ahead.
What?
I need some information from you, so slow down.
You bring your ass and get my out of here.
My ass is staying in the office.
Hey, you tell her. Right. You tell her. You go, boy.
Oh, that's funny.
I like that you can tell he's annoyed, but he's not yelling, and he's not really raising his voice.
No, he's doing a good job.
Go ahead.
You need to calm down and tell me something here. Okay?
All right, bitch. What was wrong?
I'm a bitch again.
Hey, bitch.
Wow, she's hot.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Bitch, what was wrong with the taco?
The man refused to sell it to me.
He refused to sell you a taco?
He won't get our money back.
I feel like she's leaving something out.
Like she ate already?
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah, right. Apparently there's another Rambo movie coming out.
Yes. Yes, there is. Rambo Last Blood.
Oh, Last Blood.
Last Blood. So far, Last Blood.
Yeah, right. How many Rambo movies are there?
There was Rambo First Blood. There was the second.
But there was Rambo.
Rambo was First Blood.
Rambo first one was First Blood?
First Blood, yes. And then there was a Rambo one where he...
Rambo 2?
Rambo 2 where he went to Afghanistan.
I think it was literally called First Blood Part 2.
Then there was... right. And then, another Blood.
In the middle
Why
blood.
Why wouldn't they just call it Second Blood? Second Blood.
Then there was a rap version called Yo Blood. There was the third version where he went back to Vietnam and got the POWs out.
You think that he would have done that first, but go ahead.
Right. And well, the first one, he had a problem with the sheriff in the town and the jerkwater town.
Stop.
So
jumping around.
So the third one where he rescued the POWs, I believe there was another one made like 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember exactly. Oh, there was one who was fighting the
Okay, stop.
2008.
Yeah, there was. Okay. Yeah, there, there's.
All right, hold
there,
on.
There's been many.
Okay. Hold on. Sorry I asked.
I know.
Because I wanted to quiz these interns. How old are they?
How old are you guys?
I'm 19.
That's Holly.
She sounds 5.
Go ahead.
And I'm 21.
That's Kaylee.
All right, 19 and 21. Have you guys ever seen a Rambo movie?
No.
Never.
Okay. Wow.
Do we have any Rambo music?
We have some, yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right, I know it's not Kelly. What's her name?
Kaylee.
Kaylee.
No, there's Holly. Kaylee and Holly.
And Holly, yeah. Right.
All right, let's go with Holly first.
That's the first quiz.
What can you tell us about Rambo?
Literally nothing.
All right, well, just
make stuff
things
up.
You've heard throughout your life.
Isn't there something with guns and shooting?
Yes.
All right.
I got something.
Well, can you fake your way through it?
Probably not.
Okay. So you know nothing about it. Do you know who the star? Do you know who plays Rambo?
She doesn't know.
Wait, maybe I do.
Wow.
It's that Little Mermaid.
Adrian!
All right, let's go with...
No.
Kaylee, Pumpkin Palms. What can you tell us?
Literally nothing.
She was just trying to
Googling it real quick, too.
It's called cheating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, is that typical? It seems like people would know something about these movies, no?
They were just telling me, by the way, that they have seen every single Avengers movie. So, like, there's 23 of them. They've seen all of them. Both of them.
But not one Rambo.
Wow.
Each of them went to see Avengers Endgame multiple times in theaters.
Yes. But not one Rambo.
Yeah.
Not one Rambo.
No.
Have you seen Rocky?
Yes. I have not, but Holly has.
Okay. And what about, what's the other one he does? He has multiple series. So yeah. One was Rocky. He's got the Rambo.
What do you call it?
We did Cobra.
Yeah, Cobra. Yeah. Cobra's just one movie. No, the one where he's with all the other action stars is a series.
Expendables.
Thank you.
Yes.
I kept thinking Untouchables.
There it is.
The Expendables.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So.
And a couple of snoozers like Stop My Mom Will Shoot or Rhinestone.
Yeah. That's true. When he came out with Rocky, that was his first movie, and he was considered a Hollywood genius like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you become a drain on Hollywood.
Yeah,
you start coming out with Rhinestones
exactly.
And Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Right.
All right, AJ, bring us through this first Rambo. What happened?
The first Rambo is, you catch him, he's hitchhiking, he's a drifter, he's in, I believe, Washington State. And a sheriff of a very small town sees him and gives him a ride out of town. He decides to go back in town because he's trying to find one of his buddies who he knew back in Vietnam.
So this guy was like, we don't want your type here.
Exactly. Exactly. When he tried to come back in, he puts him under arrest. He ends up going into the jails, a lockup. They do things to him like they squirt him down with a fire hose. And
this is all coming back to me.
The one guy hits him with a baton in the back and knocks him down and everything. And then
you instantly hate these guys.
When they went to shave him, to make him presentable for court, the guy had him by his throat with a baton, and he started to flip out and see it had a nom trip going on, and he just obliterated everybody in that whole jail. Like, I mean, like, he put one guy through a freaking wall.
He's like the Terminator, but not shooting.
Oh, yeah. No, and then
he had like a flashback
exactly.
And went into like Hulkamania, where
right.
Like, all of a sudden, like, no matter how many guys you threw at him, like, he they couldn't keep him down.
Steals a motorcycle outside and like goes racing.
Was it a cop
the woods.
Motorcycle?
No, it was some guy on a dirt bike, you know, like a street and trail
gotcha.
Bike.
Just like in Terminator.
Right. He's like riding
the
wheel. Like,
the guy goes, I'll take your clothes, I'll take your bike.
Exactly.
Right,
no,
go
goes into goes off into the mountains, and then most of the film is them trying to, like, you know, get him in the mountains. Which ends up happening is at one point
I remember.
Remember he's on the cliff. He's trying to climb
down.
Can I
tell you the one scene I remember?
Okay.
All right. There's one scene where he stitched himself.
Yeah.
Like he fell in a tree or
he
something.
He fell through a tree.
Right.
Yeah.
And he stitched himself.
And
I remember
branch.
That was the first time I ever saw anything like that in a movie. I was like, what?
Is that when he's running away from the helicopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, he dives off the cliff.
Right, because, well, first he
and then he cut himself in the tree.
First he hits the guy who's shooting at him, who is one of the guy who, like, nailed him in the prison. He's the guy, and he takes a rock and wails it, hits the guy, and the guy falls out of the helicopter.
Wait. Hits the guy where?
Hits the guy right in the head. The guy goes down.
Wait, I want to see this. I'm going to Google that right
the
now.
Guy
I want to see this. Hold on. Wait, we all have to play here.
Okay.
All right. The scene where the guy, Rambo throws a rock and hits the guy in the head.
Either hits the guy in the head or hits the helicopter.
Oh, okay.
In any event, the helicopter goes out of control and the guy who's shooting at him falls out a way, a long way down and lands on the rocks and like his head busts open. He's obviously very dead.
Oh, they show his head busts
open? His body's like still smoking when Rambo goes walking over because all the steam's coming out of his
smoking?
Body.
Smoking?
Yeah, because all the steam's coming. It's cold. All the steam's coming out of his body.
Oh,
right.
God.
And he just kind of looks at him and he walks away.
No, I don't think he speaks until the end.
No, he does speak.
Well, that's
he does speak.
I thought he didn't speak until the end of the movie.
No,
he says one line in the whole movie.
No, he had a couple of lines towards the beginning part. Goes, why can't I stay in this town? Why are you bothering me? You know?
But that's where the title of the movie First Blood came from, because like people are like, what's going on out there? Because it starts to make news that like there's like this whole shootout going on.
Right.
And he's like, they drew First Blood,
right.
not me.
They drew
and
First Blood. When Colonel Troutman talks to him.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the long speech when he went through there, spitting on me, that whole thing.
At the end, yeah.
Right. That was the longest part of the dialogue.
Right.
So he had a line here and there.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Right.
Go ahead. But in any event, he ends up back in the town again, and this time he's in there to wreck the whole damn town.
Right.
Busts into a gun store.
And he's pissed.
Busts into a gun store, gets himself some serious hardware with the gun belts and everything, and he turns around, he sets the place on fire, your ammo going off, all the town lights go out because he shoots all the Transformers out.
Right.
So now it's just him and the sheriff who's effed with him the first place.
Oh, this is like a Western.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's like right down to the last two guys. It's
awesome.
High noon.
Right. He actually gets into the jail, into the police precinct, and the guy that's on the roof, he's about to like shoot him through like one of the skylights.
Yeah.
And Rambo sees him, just starts shooting through the roof, and the guy's like, "Ah!" and falls through the skylight.
Totally a Hollywood, like he's like hit with like a bunch of bullets.
Oh, like does that dance for a moment, and then he falls through the skylight and lands, goes, "Go ahead, kill me, go ahead!" And then Colonel Troutman goes, "Rambo, no!" Then he starts the whole thing about... Then the whole speech happens.
Because they called in one of Rambo's, like, former superiors.
Well, actually, he came by himself because he heard that there was something was going on. He was letting them know, basically, you're fighting a decorated green beret, and there's no way in hell your entire force is going to beat him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, he's a badass, man. I freaking love him.
Oh, I love all of this.
Oh, that's great.
How many times, AJ, do you think you've seen the movie?
Rambo First Blood, at least a dozen. At least a dozen. It's one of those movies when you're flipping through and then you see it come up, you're like, and you stop. You're like, no, I don't care what I'm doing today. I'm watching the rest of this movie.
All right, hold on. I just got a text from the boss. In 1982, when Rambo came out, would you know movies from 1945? Same difference of those years for interns.
Oh!
Well, classics you watch, right? Like, I've seen Casablanca.
I've never seen that either.
No. Yeah.
I've seen It's a Wonderful Life. I've seen some of the big movies from that time period.
Yeah, maybe Eternity, Gone with the Wind, so that I've seen. Yeah, yeah.
But it makes it sound so old.
But Rambo.
1945.
But Rambo's nonstop action from beginning to end.
Well, there's also something about Sly Stallone that, like, no matter how old he gets, there's always something about him that's, like,
kind of attractive. He still looks fantastic.
He's
like 78 years old now.
Yeah.
And in this movie, this next one, Last Blood, he looks fantastic.
First of all, AJ is the only person I know that loves every single Rocky movie.
Oh, yeah. Rocky V was awesome.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
No.
He returned to his roots.
We're entering day 12. Still no sign of where the mother of five in Connecticut is. She's been missing for 12 days. Her estranged husband and his girlfriend were arrested over the weekend for evidence tampering. Ann Kay Howard, who's an attorney and a true crime writer on the show now to kind of take us through the timeline. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good, thanks.
Good morning. Thank you.
Where do you want to start with this?
Well, you know, first I want to start by saying that this really hits close to home for me because when I started practicing law, I did a ton of divorce and custody cases, and I'm really familiar with how things can get so contentious and bitter, especially when there's a ton of money and five young children involved. Most people learn to rein it in and take care of the kids, but unfortunately here it looks like that's not the case.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the divorce, and then we go to the disappearance. So leading up to the disappearance, the divorce was contentious. What were some of the things that stood out to you?
Well, back in January, the court suspended Patrice Dulose's visitation rights, which is a pretty big deal in a divorce matter. I've been thinking, based on what I've read, there's indication that this woman, the girlfriend he was involved with, Michelle Baconis, played a pivotal role in the suspension of his visitation rights.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the court said that she was specifically not allowed around those children in the home. She had to vacate the premises while Satish had kids in the home, and they violated that restriction. And that's a big reason why the visitation was suspended. A few months later, the judge did restore some kind of, you know, alternate weekend and supervised visitation. But I think that was the main issue.
And I'm just having a little difficulty hearing you. Can you move the mouthpiece of the phone? We'll try that. Hopefully it gets a little better.
Any better now?
Yes, much absolutely.
Better. Thank you.
All right, so let's go with the disappearance.
Right. So we got Friday morning, May 24th. She goes missing. She drops her kids off at 8 a.m. at the New Canaan Country Day School. And then for that four-hour period, I think that's the window of time that police are most interested in. When she went missing and no one knows where she was, the housekeeper comes to the house at 12 noon, and Jennifer's not there. Then she doesn't show up for a couple doctor's appointments in New York City. And by the evening, friends and family are reporting that she's missing, and the police find her empty vehicle, her suburban Chevrolet, at the park in New Canaan, Waveney Park.
It's interesting that the police looked right away. Usually they say a person has to be missing for so long before they get involved.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah, you know, Chaz, I'm really amazed at how fast law enforcement has been working on this, and kudos to them for doing that. They got right to work on it and started searching for her before that 24-hour period expired.
I have a feeling there was a couple of things going on. You have a mom of five kids who's pretty stable, and a contentious divorce with a potentially hothead, estranged husband. So all of that math probably led them to get involved quickly.
You know, she reported in divorce proceedings, we see that she says that she is afraid of Satish Delos. She worries because he has a gun, and she says he's delusional. Now, what I would like to know is, where is his gun? There was a lot of blood found on the garage floor of her home in New Canaan, blood spatter on the walls. So I'm sure that law enforcement is vigorously looking for that gun.
Okay, so police go to the house. They find the blood. Then what happened?
Well, you know, that night when she was reported missing, at the same time, Satish Delos is in Hartford, Connecticut. He's going along a four-mile stretch of Albany Turnpike, and allegedly, you know, according to the surveillance videos that they've retrieved, he's dropping trash bags in up to 30 trash cans, and there was a report that maybe he put something into a storm grate. So, you know, what is this guy and his girlfriend doing out in Hartford dropping trash off? A few days after that, you'd think he'd be kind of consumed with the fact that the mother of his five children is missing. But a few days after that, he goes to the Stanford court, and he files for custody of his five children.
That's weird. Okay. We were talking about that earlier. Like, he never got in front of a camera and said, look, you know, we're going through a divorce, but that's the mother of my kids, and I hope for a safe return, and I'm asking anyone who knows anything to come forward. Like, none of that happened.
Right. No tears, no pleading for any leads on the case. It seems like his mind is on two things, getting his kids back and defending himself against these charges.
He, I read somewhere, owes the mother-in-law like $2.5 million.
Right. He's got a legal battle going on with the estate of his father-in-law, who advanced him $2.5 million for these luxury homes that he would build. Now, I guess what happened was he stopped paying back on that loan. So he seems to have a lot of financial troubles right now, too, which may have been a motive if indeed he did do anything with his wife, if there is any wrongdoing. That also is indicated in the fact, Chaz, that he can't come up with the $500,000 bail bond like his girlfriend
did. He has a 10,000-square-foot house that looks like a mansion.
It's huge.
How does he not, does he owe too much money on that to pull like $500,000, you know, lien on it or home equity loan?
There's nothing in the court documents and the financial affidavits that I can see at this point that would indicate that he has no equity in that house. On the other hand, I think we can come to the conclusion that that would be a top priority for him right now, post bail. And if he had it, that he would.
Did she have like a large insurance policy on her by any chance?
There is no mention of that, but I think you can be sure, given the wealth of this couple, that he took care of himself. And I'll bet you anything that there's a lot of insurance money on Jennifer.
What about the girlfriend?
She is an interesting character. You know, she's an international businesswoman. She was married to this Argentinian Olympic skier. And they helped to run a resort, a ski resort in Argentina. Before that, she lived in Abu Dhabi. And so she was around a lot of rich oil money. And she was a publicist for a polo and racing resort there. So, you know, how she got tangled up in this mess in Connecticut is beyond me. She certainly took a high risk getting involved with a volatile man who was engaged in this kind of litigation. I know she has an online business where she sells activewear for skiing and surfing. Perhaps that business brought her to Connecticut to be closer to New York City. I'm not sure, but she's really gotten herself into a mess.
She seems really bright, and does she have anything in her past that would I don't know? Does she have any trouble in her past that would lead you to believe that she might be the one?
Well, nothing's been reported about that. I know she has a 10-year-old child and she's divorced. But, you know, I've got to be careful as a lawyer. I don't want to pass judgment based on body language. But it is concerning, the body language that I'm seeing in these two individuals in both of these hearings, that the arraignment hearings that we saw on Monday, that just something doesn't look right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming on and laying that out for us. It's very,
okay.
We're hoping for a good ending, a resolution for the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, today, the trash, digging up trash in Hartford at that facility, it has not turned up any evidence, no bones. It's all been chopped apart. And so they're really having trouble finding if there's any bone fragments in that trash. The trash goes 20 feet high and spans the length of a football field.
Wow.
So they've got a lot of searching to do.
Well, God bless those investigators, man. They've been doing a great job.
Yep.
Ann K. Howard, attorney, true crime writer. We're going to link up to Route 8, and it's the number 8murders.blogspot.com. And Ann's got a number of books out and stuff. It's linked up at WPLR.com. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Dr. John is here. And, you know, Ashley sends out these guest cards, and we try to probe for, like, hey, what do you want to talk about? What can we talk about? This caught my eye.
What do you want to talk about?
Dr. John's card.
I threw him some ideas.
It was great. Thank you.
Yeah, a little lighter than the school shooting stuff.
Right,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Is it normal when my son watches porn?
How old's your kid?
Right.
She's 35 in the house.
Does this come up with you? Like, this is a question that parents ask you.
So on Mondays, we have rounds. All the docs are in. And we talk about situations that happen. Parents' questions, so forth. But parents often will frame a problem gradually. Like, is it normal when Joey does, and it could be anything.
Right.
In this case, you know, is it normal that he watches pornography?
Yes. Well, he's three.
He's three. No. He's 14.
He's homesick at that point, yeah.
Right.
It's not uncommon.
What's what's the youngest thing someone asks you? Is it normal my kid watches porn? Well, how old is he? What's the youngest answer you've heard to that?
Yeah, usually I know the kid, but I don't think I've ever had anybody go under 10.
Right. Okay.
I think sometimes if it's that, they know the answer to that.
Yeah, if they're under 10.
They don't have that. That's okay. Good point.
Yeah, 10 is young, though.
If they're under 10, they're
10 is young.
If they're under 10, they're reminiscing. Come back to the old days.
Yeah. I feel like if it's under 10, they found it accidentally in their dad's underwear drawer and then thought, wow, this is interesting.
This is
how it happened.
This is not funny, Nemo.
Yeah, the scary part of it isn't, you know, dad's old Playboy stash under the bed anymore. It's
right.
Internet stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff is scary.
You know, I thought about that after I said, I'm like, nobody has that stuff in their drawers anymore.
That's how we learned.
Load the gun with the musket and the gunpowder.
Right. Like,
yeah, it's not how it's done anymore.
Right. I need some parchment. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So when, all right, so give us the range of like when it starts to become normal and when it's
so it'll be gradual. You know, is it normal? Yeah, yep, it is. Is it normal to watch porn at 3 a.m. sneaking out of the room? Well, yeah,
that's
kind
the best
of a
time,
private
really.
Time. They shouldn't get caught. They know they're not supposed to do that. Parents are pretty clear, and then it'll escalate into: is it normal to watch porn at 3 a.m. with underpants on your head? Kind of like the Weird Science movie.
Well, that was a bra.
We're getting into an area that's a little weird.
Like a spaghetti strainer.
But you want to get into it.
Yeah, you don't want to just start with that question.
You want to get into it. You want to get that certain mindset.
Have you ever done that, AJ?
Be honest. With my panties on my head? No.
No, just something weird. Like you're dressed weirdly.
Dress weird? No.
No.
Dress weird? No.
Yeah.
No, dress less? Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, who doesn't?
Exactly.
No one's going to be in a tuxedo when they're doing it.
No, exactly.
See, now that would be weird.
Yeah, boxer shorts or boxer briefs, yes.
I'm going to try that. Tuxedo.
Yes, the tuxedo could be from Casablanca.
You might
have a Casablanca fetish.
Exactly. Right. I'm going to feel posh.
I want a spinning bow tie. Right.
I know we were talking about movies earlier.
I want a red carpet. Who am I wearing? Her.
It spins faster depending on what's happening.
That's right.
Exactly.
Right at the end, it spins and flies off.
Yeah. And I want the interview at the end of the carpet, too. Who are you wearing?
Yeah, the classic movies. I'm sure the interns have never heard of Debbie Does Dallas either, but that'll take you back.
Actually, didn't know about
I
that
hope
part.
They don't have that. I hope not.
So,
what did you do on the radio today? Well, we played my song from my high school play, and then we talked about porn. Why is Phil looking at me?
Why is he half thinking?
Like he was expecting me to do something.
Everything
all right over there?
Yeah. I'm hoping he's not going to ask me for audio from Debbie Does Dallas.
No.
I don't know if I can deliver that.
No, Dom,
it's in your phone, Phil.
Our computers would get all locked up. Dr. John is here, and we were talking about some of the questions that he encounters regarding parents and kids. And, you know, one question was, is it normal when my son watches porn? And then we were starting to talk about the different ages.
Yeah.
Right? So what is it like an age that you consider normal? Like, yeah, that's fine.
Well, it's really based on puberty. And kids hit, if you've ever looked at an eighth grade dance, you got a 3-foot eighth grader and an 8-foot eighth grader.
Yeah, what's up with that? So, it's kind of weird.
Louis Grasso, eighth grade.
Oh. Larry
full
Parker.
Beard, arm hair.
Larry Parker.
All the girls
that dude
are taller.
Was like, damn.
Yeah, but, and so when you've hit puberty, that's usually when it starts. And,
interesting.
At that age. So the age varies.
All right. So do you find that girls watch as much porn as guys, or is it more guys?
I would say 90% of the referrals I get, when a parent asks, it's their son.
Right.
Maybe more, 95.
Girls, I feel like, are just better at hiding stuff like that.
It could be. It's certainly an interest. It's sex. Who's not interested?
Would you say
in that?
Sexual drive is different?
Very much so. In how it's portrayed and done. And that's the danger of pornography. It shows a misrepresentation of relationships or sex or what's normal.
But we're not looking at that for
No.
Yeah.
But girls being, I think, at that age, much more emotional, the drama and all that.
Right.
I think it's a different mindset going in at what they're looking at.
Guys and girls are wired differently, right?
We are.
Very differently.
Guys feel like the connection with the physical connection.
Yes, we do.
Want the emotional connection.
Yes.
And guys are wired to hunt, gather, reproduce.
Exactly. Right. The basic food groups.
So when is it normal? All right, so porn is puberty, so masturbating would be puberty as well, right?
Yeah, it usually starts around that.
They call that practice, yes.
Right. Do you remember how old you were when you started, AJ?
13.
I was 13.
Look at that.
Usual age of onset for males, about
Ashley?
13.
It was somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, but I remember experiencing, you know, the like doing the whole thing and then getting to the end and like, wow, I've really been missing out on something.
I'm throwing my baseball cards away.
Years. I had no idea.
I'm not playing with trucks in the dirt anymore.
All that's done.
Exactly.
That's done.
That girl's no longer icky.
Girls
across
are
the
now
street.
Not icky.
Right. Yeah, not icky.
And I need to find a place to put this.
Exactly.
I thought Santa was great.
Right. Jeez.
This is the gift that really keeps on giving.
Man, have I been stupid.
My God.
Wow.
Hey, Dad, guess what I learned?
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, son. Don't shut your mother.
What about, like, bringing your kids to a movie that may be edgy? Bad, good, depends.
Well, you know, I bring my boys to Avengers. I bring them to stuff that might have a little bit of edge to it. Often it goes over their head.
Yeah, but it's violent edge, not like, you know, bangada.
Yeah, if it's got that kind of stuff in it, I don't take them. It's just...
Really?
Yeah. No.
You bring the wife instead.
I don't want to have to explain it in the car ride home.
Right. What kind of effect do you think that could have on a young person? Like if they went to a movie with...
A lot. It's confusing. I mean, you talked about finding those magazines. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. What is this? I didn't know this was out there.
Right, holy crap.
And wow, she's built are reluctant to talk about it. Whereas girls... might be able to say, hey, that was disturbing. What was that about?
Right.
And now you have a whole conversation. So if you're a dad, be prepared to have that conversation.
Well, it's different for dads and daughters, though.
Yeah.
Because, like,
that's true.
Right. So usually the daughter goes to the mom, the son goes to the dad. And the funniest thing my dad does to this day, I'll be 30 in July, is if there's like a song lyric that's like overtly sexual and you're like, it's a joke. You're like, Dad, what does that mean? And he will come up with the most random... He won't address it. He'll come up with the most random...
Yeah. It means there's bunnies in the
ridiculous
field, huh?
Oh, yeah. You want to see a guy shut up quick, start talking about menstruation.
No, we leave.
We leave.
We leave entirely. Got to go to the Home Depot.
Yep. I had build that something. Talk with my daughter for about 3 seconds, and it was just, Dad, I know. I'm like, great.
But wouldn't it be easier for a father, instead of the whole birds and bees thing, is to like find a good porn and watch it with the kid, explain as it goes along?
No.
Like narrate?
Yeah, no. No? I don't think so.
That's why I'm not a dad.
That's horrifying. Yeah. That's horrifying.
Hey, Dad, what's the talk? Here's a DVD. Yeah.
I brought Chaz to Team America.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because it was a puppet movie.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it's a puppet movie. Now, I used to watch The Thunderbirds.
Yes.
Where it was the same puppet.
Exactly.
And I saw the ad, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, stupid me. I knew it would be edgy, but I didn't think, like, in the first 5 minutes, there'd be a guy sticking his thing in something. And I was like,
oh.
The guy's from South Park. It's totally normal.
Yeah, no, in hindsight, I should have seen all of that.
Right.
But then, now, a good parent would have gotten up, saw that, and said, all right, we got to go.
Enough of this.
All right.
Yeah. You saw nothing?
Yeah.
I'll buy you a bike.
I was like, all right, this is one scene. This will be over in a minute.
Nope.
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 Like, it'd be over, then it'd get worse.
No, but that's tricky. Like, the 80s movies were very different. I know that you guys were talking about it.
The Cars played a lot. I know that.
The start of Meatballs is a conversation about French kissing and getting pregnant. And I'm watching it with my 10-year-old daughter. And I'm closing her eyes and turning it. Going, right. Wait a minute. I don't remember this being on Meatballs.
That's so awkward.
She's like, I like French toast, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is...
awkward.
Yeah. So, on a 10 scale, 10 being bad... Where did I fall that day in parenting?
12. Well, having not seen the puppet porn movie, I would guess 7.
It's pretty bad.
7,
like,
big
the first
average.
Thing
7, 8.
They like in the first scene, it's like skull something, right?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I was wondering why people were giving me dirty looks when I was walking in. I'm like, what are you looking at?
He's 25. He's young for his age. He's a little person.
Was it 3D?
No.
Thank God, no.
Thankfully, no.
Okay, good. Matt, did you talk about it on your way home?
No.
Right. Father, son.
Right.
Let's drive.
We went right to the bike store and bought him a new bicycle.
Right. I think I said,
call the bribe.
Wow, that was a lot edgier than I thought it would be.
When your kid critiques it on the ride home.
Yeah.
I felt it needed more direction.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to handle it. I knew I handled it wrong. I knew I was really selfish in the moment. I'm like, I want to watch this movie.
Yeah, really. Can you just give me a bunch of money for video games? Here you go.
This is actually really funny.
Go play in the lobby.
Good for him to see.
I saw a couple of video games in the lobby. Go play there.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of it goes over their heads when they're young. They're popcorn, soda,
right.
Right.
Movie.
Yeah.
You're okay.
You saw the first Deadpool movie, right, Chaz?
Yeah.
I went to see it in theaters, and this dad comes in and sat next to me and Amanda with his young son, and I just sort of, like, raised my eyebrow, like, you know what you're doing? And he leans over to his son. He goes, remember, if your mom asks, we saw Kung Fu Panda.
Hey, whatever it takes.
I was like, funny. You know what? It's not my business.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
What right. age should you explain to your kid that boys and girls are different and that whole thing?
Well, earlier is better. Schools start to do that job at probably around fifth grade. And so around that time, I'd supplement it as a parent and say, you know, what questions do you have? Give them stuff to look at. Those kind of things.
Right. Wait. All right. So give them stuff to look at now? So before fifth grade, because schools will start.
Right around the time. Yes, because schools are going to start doing in health class.
Yeah, you want to prep them.
Okay.
So you want to prep them a little bit or at least be available for questions. And again, kids they find it as awkward to talk about as parents do.
So how do you start? Do you say, hey, so, you know, boys are different than girls, right? Do you start, like, how do you start? How do you have that
when your kids
initial
you.
Conversation?
Well, unlike AJ, don't show the porn or, like, in
It was a suggestion. Just a suggestion.
Don't take out the
just
Playboy
say no.
magazine All right. and start leafing through it.
All right, but, Jimmy, you're three. Let's watch a porn.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Reminisce.
Yeah, don't do that. But some materials to get it started, look it over, ask questions, could be a nice way to get into it a little further. And then be available.
Right.
It's awkward to them, too. So try to be as comfortable as you can, even though inside you're sweating.
Sometimes it happens when the kid is bathing with the mom or whatever, and it's like, oh, hey, Mom, where's your...
where's your thing?
Oh, my God, something
where's
fell off you.
Your thing?
Something fell off you. It must have dissolved.
Right. At what age do you stop doing that, like bathing together or whatever?
I think it all comes, you know, prior to that puberty period. But yet some parents walk into a shower that's normal. Their kid's in there, and they're like, hey, here's the shampoo. And, wait a minute.
Right.
It's a lot of porn's like that.
This has changed.
Yeah, it's like they walk into the shower and it's like, holy crap.
It's very steamy, too, in this music.
Mrs. Playing. Smith.
Right.
I
had no idea.
Oh, Jimmy, I didn't know you were here. You were visiting today?
I'm here to collect for the newspaper.
Right. Mm. Can you soap my back while you're in here?
Sure, no problem, Mrs. Oto. I can do that.
You know you're very good.
All right, awkward silence.
Yeah, like it would be.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Now, do you watch porn?
Do I watch porn?
Yeah. Wow.
The fact that you asked the question back.
You don't have to answer
violation.
That. That answer was fine.
That was good. You stumbled and you repeated the question.
That's what AJ does to me when he doesn't want to answer the question. Prepare for the interview? Did I prepare for the interview?
That's what it sounds like. You're right, Chad.
Years ago, I had a friend ask me if I watched the porn.
Like the there was porn.
Did I see it?
Right. Oh my God! You watched the porn?
Right? Did you watch the porn?
That's watching the porn.
That's like when old people say, "I got the pneumonia,"
or I'm on the Facebook. Sugar.
I saw him on the Instagram.
All right, Dr. John. Thanks for coming.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This Quest Diagnostic data breach. You hear about this?
Yep.
Yes.
How many? A lot.
12 million, I think.
12 million seems like a lot.
Yep,
that's a lot.
Yep. 12 million, and I think everyone's been there, right?
At some point in your life, yes. Any medical stuff?
Blood test, this test, that test.
Right, work test, all stuff. Yep.
Right. So all this information's out there. It's personal. It's scary.
It is.
So if you think that you shouldn't be concerned about that, I want you to meet Ashley's mother. We refer to her as Mama G.
Hey, Mama G.
Hey, Mama G.
Good morning, boys. Ciao, Bella.
Morning.
Good morning, Mama G.
Your name's Bella?
Wait, what?
Ciao, Bella. Italian.
Right. Chabella?
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao.
Ciao, Bella. Hello.
Hello,
beautiful.
Bella.
Yeah. Yes.
Thought she said Chabella.
No. That was her early name.
That's what she calls me.
When she was like, no, that was Chabetta.
Chabella.
Right. Chabotta.
Oh, boy, this could be bad for Ashley. So you had your identity stolen.
I did. I absolutely did.
How bad was it?
Oh, it was very bad. If it was currently going on, it would be a whole different conversation. To understand what happened, you have to know that I had just bought a brand new sports car.
Oh.
So
AJ wants to know what kind.
Yeah, I really want to.
Do you need to know?
Please.
Can I say it? It was a red BMW with a black rag.
Nice. Oh, that's nice. Sweet. Red drop top. Nice.
Nice.
It was gorgeous. Turn on a dime. AJ, turn on a dime. It was amazing.
I'm going to get a dime. Make it prove it.
So I came home from work one day, and Papa G is waiting for me. And you have to know that Papa G is the reincarnation of Vito Corleone.
How you doing?
So we just got this look on his face like he's got something to say, but not sure how to say it. And he goes to me, "You got something you want to tell me?" And thankfully, that morning, I had put my sassy pants on, so I looked at him and I said to him, "No, I don't have anything I want to tell you." He proceeds to tell me that he had answered the phone and gotten a call from a bank in Philadelphia because the other me was apparently opening credit cards in my name, and the bank wanted to know when I was relocating from Connecticut to Philadelphia.
You come to me on the day of my red BMW.
So I looked at him like, "What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." So he explains the story to me. I call the bank back, and the guy at the bank scared the you-know-what out of me and said, "You better contact the police." Mm. Well, we happen to live in a town that has lots of cows, lots of horses, lots of small farm animals, but not a typical police station. So the next day, I go to the state trooper. And I go inside, and they put me in a room. And about four or five state troopers come into the room, and they start asking me all sorts of questions. And then one by one, they got up and left, and the last one finally left. And I'm sitting in the room, and they say, "I'll be right back." So I don't know how much time went by, but it felt like an eternity, and I have to pee. So I figure I'll get up, go out of the room, pee, come back and sit down. I go to open the door to leave the room, and the doorknob is just spin, 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 no matter which way I turned it.
Oh, okay. You're in that room.
Not good. I'm on the door, and I can't get out of the room. So now I'm banging on the door going, "Hello, hello.
I got to pee.
I got to pee. Hello." So I created such a ruckus. They come down and they said, I said, "I have to pee. What's going on? I can't get out of the room." Apparently what they had done was they had called the Philadelphia police, and they were trying to determine if I was the real me or if she was the real me.
Oh, boy.
Now, she had all the information about me because she bought my just recently submitted car loan from an insider in the bank that was financing my car.
Uh-huh.
So she had my social, she had where I lived, she had where I worked, she had my husband's name, she had how much money I made. She had every piece of information. So the question they were asking me to prove that I was the real me were getting the same answers from the other individual in Philadelphia who was pretending to me.
It's bad when Papa G goes, "Let me see the other one."
State police trooper, this one way we can solve all of this.
Right.
Now the person with the credit card has an address in this town, and let's just go there and my husband can vouch for me. Mm. And then you drive up and you remember sassy pass pants incident.
Right.
He says, "I've never seen her before in my life."
He said, "Papa G said, hey.
And you want to know something?
Let me see the other one first."
That's exactly what he would do.
Right.
So they finally let me go, and the next day I'm home, and I get a call from Victoria's Secret, and Victoria's Secret goes, "You have a $1,500 bill, which is way past due." I'm looking at them on the phone, and I'm going, "What are you talking about? I have a $1,500
bill. What'd you buy?" Speak slowly.
So what she had done was gone to North Carolina and got a real driver's license. I have no idea how she did it. Came back to Philadelphia because all you need to do is say to the clerk, "I forgot my credit card and they just need your social and an ID." They gave her my actual Victoria's Secret credit card. So now she's charged $1,500. And she had already bought me a Dell computer, so clearly she wanted to be comfortable while she was working from home.
Of course.
And
wow.
And now
in her fancy underwears.
How am I going to tell this to Papa G Vito that I've got a $1,500 Victoria's Secret bill? So he comes
we glossed over the fact that you had a Victoria's Secret credit card.
I was waiting till the end.
I just want you to know we're gonna let that go. All right, go ahead.
You're really cool.
So I go up to Papa G and I go, I have something to tell you, and he goes, what? And I swear to God, I said to him, I have a $1,500 Victoria's Secret bill that the other me purchased, and with a straight face, he looked at me and said, I wouldn't mind if you wore it.
See, he's a dude. Papa G knows.
So then about a week goes by, they get me a detective in Philadelphia, and the detective is calling me, keeping me in touch with the case. I went to Philadelphia a total of 2 times, but before I went down, I get a call, and the detective calls me in the middle of the night and goes to me, so I have some bad news for you. And I'm like, what? And he goes, the other you was just arrested for selling drugs, and she's telling everybody your real name. That's the name that she's given. And she can't pay the supplier for the drugs. So she told the supplier to drive to Connecticut and pick up the new car as collateral. And now they know where the new car is because it's either at my place of residence or it's at my employer. I've got someone from facilities moving my car several times a day to different parking lots in my place of employment and babysitting me. And now I have to go to the school, the elementary school where my girls are, and I've got to tell them the whole story. I've got to tell the place where I work the whole story. And quite honestly, we were very scared that, you know, someone might show up at the elementary school and want to take the girls and say, you know, we're here to pick them up today. So we had to give them strict instructions not to do any of that. So it was a nightmare, and we went down to court, and when she appeared in court, you know, I'm giving her the death stare, and my husband is looking at me, and Papa G goes, listen, you get put in jail, I'm leaving you here. I'm not bailing you out. So I'm sitting next to the prosecutor, and the prosecutor, every time her attorney says something or she answers, I start to stand up. The prosecutor grabs the back of my jacket and pulls me down back into the seat. So this went on for about 5 times. The judge actually allowed me to go ahead and make a victim statement, which I did. She was incarcerated for a short period of time, but they finally let her out of jail because they said it was an overcrowded jail and it wasn't a violent crime.
She's back in the Senate now where she belongs.
Yeah. So now she's doing it
again.
That's
unreal.
No.
And how long did it take you to get your credit situated, and did you have to pay any of those bills that she racked up?
I didn't have to pay any of the bills that she racked up because I had an ongoing police investigation, so that was really good.
Wow.
I swear to God, Papa G's still looking for those clothes and never seen them to this day.
The Victoria's Secret.
The Victoria's
exactly.
Secret, yeah. Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Most important, and where's the BMW now?
the BMW is still sitting in my yard because that was my most precious car that I've ever had, and I had one wonderful man named Steve A. who worked on it and kept it alive for years, and I just can't part with it, and Papa G's trying to be patient, but it's been 2 years since it's been sitting there. So.
She's not walking to work. She got another car.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just checking. Right.
That's pretty amazing.
Wow.
That's an amazing story.
It is.
Lingerie, drugs, cars.
I know, intrigue, everything.
There was definitely danger.
That's
from
a movie.
Drug dealers.
Angelina Jolie starring in that one.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, it took me years to get my credit score back to a reasonable level. I still have a fraud alert on all my cards, so I can't go into a store, and if they say, oh, you want to save 10% and open a credit card, I can't do that because of the fraud alert on my credit. So
still.
Wow.
Still, to this day.
Scarred for life.
How many years has it been?
This started in 2001.
Wow.
Huh.
Yep.
Wow. Almost 20 years.
So when you hear these stories, or Home Depot, or now Quest Diagnostics gets hacked, and 12 million people have their information out there, you must cringe.
Well, I cringe even more because I've been to Quest maybe 3 times in the time since it was breached. So, yeah. I'm just hoping it doesn't happen again.
Well, keep an eye for Victoria's Secret bills again.
Do you have one of those life locks or one of those services now?
No, I don't. I just have the fraud alerts, and I periodically check the three businesses that allow you to determine what your credit score is and everything like that. Actually, to be perfectly honest, the Pennsylvania address is still on my credit report because they won't remove it.
They won't.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Have you had an attorney look at it? Like, have Papa G look at it?
Papa G has looked at it, yes. And I've been involved with that. And, you know,
wow.
Papa G just says to me, you know, if you get sent for, you got to go. So I'm just
he's so helpful.
Now, the other you, when you saw her, was she hot?
No.
No. Ashley's answering that question. No.
I saw one picture.
She was the complete opposite of me.
So, yeah. No.
There was no secret here. It was like, ah!
All right. Wow, that's unbelievable. I think that's the worst one I've heard.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I've heard news. I've seen the news packages on stuff like this, and didn't even come close to your story.
No, but I was in the edge of my seat, though, I tell you that much. Oh. You told it very well.
And, you know, here's the warning for everybody. You think it's never going to happen to you. It really can happen to you. So just be aware and be wise and do all the good things.
Wow. All right. Thanks for coming on, Mama G. It was nice meeting you at Captain's Cove.
Absolutely. It was so nice to meet everybody at Captain's Cove. We'll see you again soon.
All right. I look forward to that. Thank you.
Bye, Mama G.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I wasn't there at the moment.
It's Ashley's mom. Yeah. She enjoyed meeting everyone.
Mama G.
The show. Except you.
Actually, I wasn't there. No.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.